Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's northwest side on this beautiful morning, Monday in Chicago, here on Relevant Radio 950, Catholic Community of Faith, and co-hosting Graziano Marcheschi, the director of lay ministry formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. How was your weekend, Graz?
Hey, you know, Father's Day, great day.
That's right. Belated happy Father's Day
to all the dads out there.
And to all the dads out there who also love in a fatherly way. It's incredible. That rain we had on Friday, almost 4 inches at O'Hare, it was the third rainiest June day in the history of Chicago for a June day. Oh, we got some bear music there here in the background.
It's a great day to be a bird. All the worms are coming out of the ground.
That's right. It was raining like crazy. We have a great, great program lineup. I realize we're in the middle of baseball season with the Cubs and the White Sox split their two games last week, go to the USL this weekend for three, and I'm a diehard White Sox fan, but I also cheer for the Cubs as long as they're not playing the White Sox. And Brian Hitman Brock is a... No, I will not only cheer against the Cubs if they play the Sox, because it's Chicago. But we're going to switch a little bit, Graz, to football. We have with us on the phones, we have with us, back by popular demand, Father Nick Morrow, pastor of Santa Lucia Parish in Chicago and chaplain for the Chicago Bears. Father Nick, welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, a little Bears background music. And the first time ever, we have the two chaplains meeting each other via the phone. We have also with us by phone up from Wisconsin, Father Jim Baraniak from St. Norbert College, DuPere, Wisconsin, and chaplain for the Green Bay Packers. And Father Jim is a Norbertine father. Jim, welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Father Greg, thank you much. It's good to be here. But where's the Packer music in the background?
All right, now, before we...
Father Jim, we lost that disc.
Before we get started, guys,
here today, but that's okay.
We want to get the ground rules straight. No slugging each other now.
That's right.
I have to be calling a flag. But before we talk about what it means to be a chaplain, Father Nick, you've been on the program before, and just share with our listeners that great story you have shared once before a couple of years ago, and I know that Father Jim will find this interesting, that when you first entered the seminary as a young man, but then you and one of your classmates decided to stroll over to the camp of the Baltimore Colts, and you take the story from there.
You're talking about when we flunked out?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's when we...
You gave away the punchline.
Tell us a story when you and your buddy decided to try out for the Baltimore Colts. I think it was like 1957 or something?
Correct. I had a walk-on. So there's about three of us went there from... I was with the Sulpicians, studying with the Sulpicians in Baltimore, Maryland. And we went out, and we went there, and they said, well, let's try it anyway. So we did. And we did pretty good that way and that way. Unfortunately, we didn't study what we were supposed to at that time. When we took the exam in our first year there, last year philosophy, first year theology, I flunked. So I went to the rector and I said, you know, I said, I need another shot at it. And I said, I'm not going to burn up the league or anything, I said, but I know I can at least pass it, because I was never an A student. Not that I'm bragging about it, but I got by. But anyhow, to make a long story short, they had... well, different ideas, as the Blessed Mother did. And they said, thank you, but no thank you. So then I took the Baltimore train back to New York and went for work for a year. And in the meantime, I went out with the Colts, see what I could do with that goes. I got by a few cuts, but wasn't that good enough to go all the way. And then I started to study again and thought about it. I figured, you know, I'd rather be a priest this way. You only work 2 days a week. So I became a priest, and I'm 46 years a priest now, thank God, with the Scalabrini Fathers. And I've been in Chicago since 1963.
That is great. And then, Father Jim, what is your background? Were you ordained up in Wisconsin?
Yes, right at the Abbey in De Pere, Wisconsin. I was a student at St. Albert College. I began my studies in 84 and graduated in 88. And halfway through, I took the plunge and entered the Norbertine Order and then was ordained a priest in 1993 after having studied down at Catholic Theological Union in Chicago there in Hyde Park for 4 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I have 2 degrees. I think we go to school with the Scalabrinis, as a matter of fact, down there. And so, so I've had 4 years, about 5 years, of living in Chicago, but then was sent back here to De Pere, where our mother house is, and been serving here at the college as pastor of the community here at St. Albert College and Old St. Joseph Church.
Now, Father Jim, when you're as chaplain of the Green Bay Packers, do they make you wear like a cheese head or something?
No, but I did see Archbishop Dolan did have mass once where he had crozier in one hand and cheese head on the other hand. Fortunately, I don't wear that, but, you know, it's kind of interesting. So many parishioners and so many friends and students have given me like homemade vestments over the years, you know, green lined with gold and everything and cheese all over it. And so I try to, you know, wear that in private and never in public.
Do you guys minister to only the Catholic players on the team, or is your role to minister to everyone who plays on your respective team?
Well, I'm not sure what Father Nick's duties are, but I try my best to reach out to all of the players and all the members of the organization. I've only been with the Packers for 13 years. It sounds like Father Nick has been with the Bears much longer than that. But
now he goes back to the days of Red Grange.
There you go. But so, you know, I do have the Catholic Mass, of course, 4.5 hours before every kickoff, regardless of what day it is, whether it's here in Green Bay or on the road. But then I meet with other folks for, you know, pastoral care and spiritual counseling and spiritual direction, all sorts of other players. But while we are having the Catholic Mass, there is a non-denominational service going on at the same time, and that tends to have a rotation of different ministers. So, for instance, when we come to Chicago to play, I know that the Bears will have arranged for somebody to meet the Packers' needs for the non-denominational service. But I would be on the road with the team for the Packer Mass itself.
And but how many Packer players and coaches show up for a Sunday liturgy or before the game?
I would say here in Green Bay, I also have Mass at the team hotel on game day when we're in Green Bay. We can get as many as, probably about 20 in total in the Mass. When we go on the road, because guys are not sneaking out to their home parishes and coaches aren't going their separate ways, we can have as many as 40 or 45 people at the Mass, because we also have the executive committee, which flies with the team as well. So about 45 people on the road, smaller, about 20 to 25 people.
What about for the Bears, Nick?
Oh, Green Bay's way ahead of us. A lot more Catholic up there.
Than Chicago?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as far as going to Mass.
That's right.
They may be here, but they're not moving.
Sure.
No, we don't get that many. We used to at one time in the 84, 85, that area. Now we're lucky. They're good men, but basically I get maybe 2 players and about 4 coaches at the home masses. I get a little bit more on the away masses, but I don't go to too many of the away games as I used to.
Because you're a pastor.
No, because I'm 75 years old. And my legs hurt.
Right.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. We're speaking with the chaplain for the Chicago Bears, Father Nick Morrow, and the chaplain for the Green Bay Packers, Father Jim Braniak. Our number is 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
The key to transforming society to the gospel of life is prayer. This is why the Chicago 40 Days for Life prayer campaign is so important. Join us on Monday, June 15th at 6:30 p.m. for a planning meeting at St. Mary the Angels Parish on Chicago's Northwest Side. Get involved in this major prayer campaign that is 40 consecutive days, 24 hours a day. Last year, more than 14 children were saved from abortion because of this peaceful, prayerful witness. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. We pray to convert hearts and minds. We pray for couples considering abortion. And we pray that our nation might become a place where every human life is cherished and protected. Join us on Monday, June 15th. Call us at 312-534-5355 for more information.
Mawusi, a retreat for anyone who ministers in Black Catholic communities, means in the hand of God. Mawusi is designed especially for men and women, religious, lay ministers, deacons, catechists, RCIA leaders, lectors, and youth ministers. This retreat is a time for catechetical and spiritual formation, transformation, inspiration, and relaxation. Come and experience the richness of African American spirituality and culture. The Mawusi Retreat will be held Friday, July 24th to Sunday, July 26th at the Techne Towers Retreat Center, 2001 Waukegan Road in Techne, Illinois. For more information, contact the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-534-8040. That's 312-534-8040 to register for the Mawusi Retreat.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM on Chicago here. Time is 9:12, listening to a little Chicago Bear music from the great 85 Super Bowl season there. Father Jim, are you dancing back in Green Bay there?
No, but I think it's interesting that you had to go all the way back to 85 to get some good Bear music going.
Oh.
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 Oh, no.
I hope my students aren't listening from Chicago.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Oh, now, Father Jim, this
Who lost the more recent Super Bowl?
Yeah, exactly.
This Father Jim's got a quick gun there. We are taking phone calls at 312-255-8408 here on Catholic Community of Faith.
You know, we're so used to seeing these football players as big icons and, you know, monsters of the midway, and it's probably easy for us to forget that these are just regular human beings who have lots of regular problems, issues at home, with family, with parents, etc. I'm just wondering if either of you has a story, you know, keeping all confidentiality, that you can relate about a way that you were able to minister to someone, you know, who was a professional player, but also in the midst of very normal human kind of situation.
Well, I got contact with Tom Dare, Mike Tomczak, Matt Sui, you know, that 85 team, and a few of them over here now, Dusty. But over the years, there was a nice article in the Tribune about Walter Payton's son speaking about his dad, Father's Day, and the compliments that he had received. And I can remember Walter Payton quite a bit. He did a couple of the came to our services, even though he wasn't Catholic. He was a very, very influential young man, and he stood up at Matsui's wedding. Very, 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 very good. But Walter Payton was a man that goes off helping other people. And I have to say, the fellow that I've come across with really and truly impressed me as good, down-to-earth young men, and they weren't exactly what you call motor mouth as far as talking about their own lives. They were concerned about making the team more than anything else in the two times that I was with them. But I found them very, very, like nephews growing up, so to speak, and most of them were very sincere.
And what about, Father Jim, what about for you with a Packer player, in terms of a story with a wedding, a baptism?
Sure.
Just, you know, where you're involved as a priest, and as Grot said, you know, when these football players take the helmets off and the gear off, they're no different than we are with the pains, the struggles, the ups and downs of life.
Right, right. Well, you know, when you mentioned baptismal preps and baptisms and engage in the sacraments, I'll be leaving Wednesday morning to head out to Phoenix, of all places. You know, supposed to be 110 there this weekend, where I'll have the wedding of J.J. Jansen, who's our long snapper, who unfortunately was just traded to the Carolina Panthers. But so I'm heading out there for his wedding. But one of the more well-known in situations was when Brett Favre's father died. If you can recall, we were back out there at that Christmas game out in San Diego, and we had gone out there for a two-day trip. And that first day that we were out there, Brett was out golfing with a couple of his teammates, and then we got the word at the hotel that Irv Favre had died. And what's interesting is not only did Brett come to our masses for all those years as a Catholic gentleman, but his dad would come to all of the home team masses. And so I got to know Irv very, very well. And so, you know, when you see somebody just getting the news that his father just passed away, and I have not had that experience myself yet, my parents are both alive, but, you know, Brett went through every single thing that everybody else would go through, you know what I mean? And he was a son first, you know what I mean? Before he was a football player, before he was a quarterback. And so, but what was so wonderful was not only to minister to his needs until Deanna was flown out to California, but to see how that team ministered to him and how he really reached out to them as well. And as you've seen on TV, Brett is an extraordinarily emotional person. And, you know, he played that game with his whole heart, but, you know, to hear him speak out in the locker room and reach out to these folks and them reach out in return, it was a magical night for sure. It was probably the best game Brett's ever played.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Jim, isn't it where his father died and the coach goes up to Brett and says, if you want to take a pass on this game, I think it was national TV,
yes,
a Sunday night or Monday night.
Sunday night.
And Brent said, no, I'm going to play this game in honor of my father. I think he had like 300 yards passing in the first half.
It was crazy. It was crazy, you know. And as a matter of fact, when Brett was asking me, what should I do? And I'm thinking to myself, you know what I mean? Of course, I can't answer Brett's question. I'm like, Brett, everybody will understand. Whichever way you go, we are going to understand, and we are going to support you. We're going to be there for you. And look at what he did that night. And they all played with such passion. You know, not just Brett, certainly Brett. It was just a magical game, and I just remember being there in the executive owner's box over there in Oakland and sitting right next to Deanna. I'm like, can you believe this? You know, it was just a magical night for sure. But and then immediately after that game, Brett did fly out with Deanna, and so then the rest of the team went back to Green Bay. But it was much of what you'd expect with any of your parishioners passing away and hearing that news. And it was just a great, great moment.
You know, I'm sure you know better than we do that most of the players are not Brett Favre's.
You
know, that most of the players are young men, as both of you keep saying. Average age in the NFL is about 25.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most
their average career is about 3.5 to 4 years.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 years, make, you know, $1 million a year. So I found a quote from Baltimore Ravens player, born again Christian, who said, one of the most insecure places I know of is the NFL locker room.
Ah,
you know, so I'm sure these guys are dealing with, you know, some fears. You know, am I going to make it? Am I going to make a fool of myself? Is that the reason why so many football teams and other professional sports teams have chaplains? Because they realize that this is a very pressured life that these young men are living?
Well, they got that the Catholic Athlete for Christ. I'm sure that Father Jim is aware of it.
Yes.
And they have a really good PR that they try and keep in touch with the various chaplains and the various organizations, and they do a good job that way. You know, as far as, and they meet once a year or twice a year. It's called Catholics Athlete for Christ. And they got some good guys on there that are really working. They're all good, but I mean, some of them really work harder than others, as far as I'm concerned. They deserve a lot of credit, really.
It's interesting. I got a beautiful quote here from our engineer, Brian Brock, regarding that game in which Brent Favre played on that Monday night football when they beat the Raiders 41-7. And Brent Favre said after the game, I knew that my dad would have wanted me to play. I love him so much and love this game. It's meant a great deal to me, to my dad, to my family, and I didn't expect this kind of performance. But I know Dad was watching tonight.
Yes.
And he threw for 399 yards.
Right.
and four touchdowns in that game you're referring to. Before we close, Father Nick, please share, you've shared the story before, it's one of the funniest I've ever heard. Going back to the 85 Bears season, Jim McMahon gets hurt, Mike Tomczak starts the following week, this is 85 or 86, the Monday after the game, McMahon walks into, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When he nicknamed him, can you tell the story?
The nickname he gave him?
Exactly. You tell us the story. Tell us how it happened. Tell us that quick story.
So we're having breakfast the next day, or I don't know, we're getting together or something, and Mike Tomczak walks in the room, and Jim McMahon said, here comes Lotto. And everybody looked for Lotto. I didn't catch it at all. It went over my head. I didn't say, but Thayer and Matsui, I asked him, why does he call him Lotto? Because that day, he threw four interceptions. So he said, pick four.
Lotto.
By the way, before I finish, I went to visit a nursing home not too long, a hospital actually, and Relevant Radio got a good plug from this man. This man listens to it, this mm-hmm. gentleman at the hospital that was at visiting. And he says, now I know who you are. He says, I heard you on Relevant Radio. He says, I like that program. He says, do you listen to it? I said, only when I'm on. But wait a minute, he took me serious. He says, are you sure, priest? You're not supposed to lie. I said, well, I'm not lying. I said, it's just, I don't listen to it as often as I should have. I said, but he said, well, I learned a lot from that station.
Well, that is a great plug for Relevant Radio.
I just want to tell you that because I just heard this past month.
Well, the thing is, this has been great to have both Father Jim from the Green Bay Packers chaplain and Father Nick from the Chicago Bears. And unfortunately, we need to bring this segment to a close. And I do want to thank in a special way the chaplain for the Bears, Father Nick Morrow, who's also pastor of Santa Lucia Parish in Chicago, and Father Jim Baraniak of St. Norbert College in DePere, Wisconsin, and chaplain for the Green Bay Packers, and a Norbertine priest. Father Jim and Father Nick, it's been great having both of you on. We'll get you back on again, maybe toward the start of the football season. And Jim, I want to say good luck to the Packers, but I don't mean it. And God bless both of you in your ministry.
Thank you. You're listening to
Relevant Radio, 950 AM, Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, August 22nd at St. Francis of Rome, 1500 South 59th Court in Cicero. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and time is 9:24 in the morning here on this sunny, rainy day here in Chicago. And Gratz, that was a wonderful interview with Father Nick and Father Jim, never before on Relevant Radio, the chaplain of the Chicago Bears and chaplain for the Green Bay Packers.
Who would not love their job?
That would be, I'll tell you something, if I knew theology the way I know sports, I'd be a double doctorate, and that would be a great job to have.
In fact, I Googled Father Jim from the Green Bay Packers, mm-hmm.
And he told a story in a little interview he gave where he was at Soldier Field with some friends, probably when he was studying here at CTU. And they were talking about what they wanted to be when, quotes, they grew up. And he looked down and he saw Father Nick on the sidelines and he said, I want to be that man. And like 3 days later, he gets a phone call from the Green Bay Packers asking him to be their chaplain.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. I forgot the with Father Nick. He told me he got a call from the head office of the Bears because a previous chaplain had just retired, and out of nowhere, because someone had heard that Father Nick had played football, tried out with the Baltimore Colts in the 50s. In fact, one thing Nick didn't mention, when he tried out, he was on the same field trying out with Johnny Unitas.
Whoa.
Because Unitas was a walk-on
at
that time, too. But we're going to switch gears here, and we're going to move to the area of golf. And I would like to begin with this golf joke. There's a million golf jokes, but this is one of the best I ever heard. Guy tees off. Ball goes way to the right of the fairway behind a big fat tree. So his buddy says, well, take a 9-iron and chip your way back onto the fairway. Guy says, forget it. I'm blasting through this tree. Takes a full swing and boom, ball bounces off the tree, hits him in the head and kills him. He's now before St. Peter. And St. Peter says, well, according to your resume in life, you were a pretty good golfer. Are you a pretty good golfer? Guy says, I'm here in two. So as a way of introduction, we continue our sports theme, and we move to phone to Gary Graff. Gary has written several books that draw parallels between sports and the Bible. They're available through Active Publication. His latest book is entitled, And God Said, Tee It Up, Amusing Thoughts Provoking Parallels Between the Bible and Golf. And this year's U.S. Open, which should have concluded yesterday, will conclude today. I know that Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods are not in the hunt because the rains have been horrific, and two guys who I don't know offhand are leading to finish up today. But also, as a special for the last half of the program, we have three copies of Gary Graff's And God Said, Tee It Up, to give away during this show to the first three people who call in and either make a comment or have a question. Our number is 312-255-8408. The first three to call and win a copy free.
I think we ought to have a contest.
So I hope my mother's listening.
We ought to have Gary put some, you know, question out there and see who can answer it. Give away the book.
As long as we don't have to answer it.
No, yeah, not me.
But Gary, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
And the thing is, I'm good friends with the publisher of Active Publication, Greg Pierce. And I have to ask, Gary, how did you come up with this title, this theme, And God Said, Tee It Up, Drawing Parallels with the Bible and Sports Through Quotes? How did this whole idea come up, Gary?
Well, I grew up following sports and playing sports. As a kid, I collected baseball cards and football cards and was always enamored with the stats and the teams. And in my little baseball book, I talk about in the evening, I went to bed saying prayers, and in the morning, I woke up looking to box scores. And
boy, you sound like how old are you, Gary?
I am, let's see, close to 59.
Okay, because I'm 56, and so we both collected cards from the 1960s then in baseball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was big fun for me. In fact, if I had those baseball cards today and had they been going at the rates they had been going, I could have retired.
Did Mom throw your cards away?
I think we gave them to friends, and, you know, too many bicycle spokes later, they were ruined.
So keep going with your story, because, boy, we have very parallel backgrounds with looking at box scores.
Well, it's that joy of sports and playing. I got to know players. I got to know terminology of the games and things. And being raised a Catholic, I always attended Mass naturally. And my exposure to Scripture or the Bible came from the Sunday readings. And as I grew up, I always looked for more ways to relate what I was learning on Sunday to the everyday. And I found that with my knowledge of sports, I was able to make certain connections in my own mind. And the more I studied that and played with it a little bit, I found that there was a lot of material that people might be interested in as well. And so the book on baseball came out first, football second, and then golf now is the newest. And as for the title, And God Said, Tee It Up, that was actually Greg's idea. we had some. We were debating some different titles for the book, and one that you know immediately came to mind in the beginning was "And God Said Four," not being a you know a common golf term. However, mm-hmm. four is usually said about an errant shot, and I like to think that God doesn't make mistakes. So we had to abandon that title, and went with "Tee It Up."
Is it true, as Greg's joke would suggest, that golf can be a life-threatening sport?
Well, in real life, it can be. Lee Trevino, the famous player from the, I guess it was the 70s, he was hit by lightning on the golf course.
Whoa.
And he was able to come back from that and actually win a major championship.
Well, I have to admit that I golf very little, but I was golfing a few years ago with my brother Adrian, who's actually a very good golfer, and I was behind a tree, and I could kind of take a swing around the tree,
uh-huh.
and the ball, I crushed, I rarely hit a ball well. I crushed the ball, it hit the tree squarely, came right back toward me, and I caught it like a goalie. My brother said, "Greg, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I just instinctively reached my hand out like a goalie and snared it. Because if I had, it would have gone about 100 yards past me in the wrong direction."
You're such an athlete, Greg. You know, you're too good.
Let's go to a break.
We got to go to a break here. We're going to come back and continue our conversation about life and golf with our guest, Gary Graff. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Cemetery Ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the Corporal Works of Mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. Time in Chicago is coming up on 9:34 on this Monday morning on Relevant Radio 950. We are still giving away three books entitled "And God Said, Tee It Up." The author, Gary Graff, who's with us as guest by phone. Act of publication, the number 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. Make a deal. Call up. You don't even have to have a question or a comment. Just call up and get a free book, and it's a great book. I've got a copy back at the rectory. And so 312-255-8408. Be the first of three callers.
Gary, tell us, what's the premise of this series of books? Besides the golf book, you also did one on baseball and the third on football?
Yes.
So what are you doing here? Sports and...
spirituality, sports and the Bible.
Okay. So how do you connect it with golf?
For me, it's just a way for people to learn a little bit more about the Bible through games that they love, games that they enjoy playing, games that they're familiar with, perhaps. And it's a way for people of faith to learn a little bit more about the sports that they grew up playing and loving. And to me, it's a very accessible way to just learn a little bit more about the lessons we hear every day when we go to Mass.
Well, it's fascinating, Gary. You know, I played football. I played baseball. I really am not much of a golfer. God did not bless me with that gift at all. In fact, I was golfing with my brother once, and he says, "You know, Greg, I know what's wrong with your shot." I said, "What, Adrian?" He said, "Your feet are too close to the ball after the shot." That was a real confidence builder by my brother Adrian. And but now let me ask you this, Gary. What are some of the chapter titles, and how do you connect life with golf? And so many men and women of all ages play golf. I think it's tremendous to somehow make a spiritual, biblical connection of a game people love. Well, it can also hate, too. It's someone said, golf is a great way to ruin a nice walk through the woods.
That was Mark Twain, yep.
Yeah, so tell, what's the connection with the book?
For instance... one thing that comes to mind immediately for me is this notion of rebirth and resurrection. As we know, Jesus died for our sins, and on the third day he rose again, from the dead. And every day in life, we face certain deaths and resurrections. They may be little things like the loss of a job. I mean, that's not a little thing, but compared to death, it's not quite as bad. But the loss of a job, a marriage could end up in divorce. We may lose a child to addiction or something like that. We may get old and find out that our physical abilities on the golf course, for instance, aren't as good as they used to be in our youth. And we're asked to, in our faith, rise above those and find new gifts in whatever is presented to us. And golf gives us that lesson every day. It could be from swing to swing, where we may hook one or slice one, and the next shot we take is a little bit better one. It may be hole to hole. We may get a double bogey on one, and the next hole have par or birdie, or it may be round to round, where we have a horrendous score one round, and then the next time... shoot well enough to inspire us to play again and again. And so I think golf gives us a little look at what it is to be reborn, to have hope, and to keep living our lives, playing our games with the hope of doing better next time.
All right, let's hold that good thought there. We have a caller. Anna has won one of our books, and she also has a comment. Anna, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, Father. God bless you. I was calling regarding the book. I thought it was a very good gift from my son who likes to play golf, and I figured that if I got him this book, it will get him closer to God as we try to talk to him, but kids nowadays don't like to listen. So I figure if he read about it, it would be great, and I would like to be interested in the football one, if there's a way that I can get that one for my older son.
I think it would be through Active Publication, and they're located, I know, Anna, in Niles. It's ACTA Publications on Howard Street. I don't have a phone number, but it's got to be here somewhere.
Yes, here it is.
Go ahead.
1-800-397-2282.
Give that number again, Greg.
1-800-397-2282. ACTA Publications.
In Skokie.
So in Skokie, Illinois?
In Skokie, with that phone number. If you call, you can place the order for the for Gary's football book. And I think, Anna, it's interesting. You received this book for your son, and all of a sudden you're saying if he can take an interest in reading this, and what Gary does, he parallels the game of golf, which is an interest, a passion, a hobby for your son, with a spiritual message, and that can make reading... if I'm not mistaken, Gary, to say that, you know, when you hook into something you enjoy, it then makes reading about Scripture or life in a whole new perspective.
Exactly. I've had book signings where people come up to me, much like Anna is saying, that they're saying, I'm buying this book for my husband, my son, my nephew or whomever, who they say, you know, has been maybe raised Catholic or but just drifted away, lost a little bit of faith, and they hope the book brings them back. I have an interesting story where when the galley of my baseball book came out, which is a book used for proofreading to try to catch all the errors in it and make, you know, corrections for spelling and whatnot, came out, I brought that down to show my mom and dad, and my dad happened to be in the hospital. He was at the time on his last days, and he passed away. And my mom was saying that thank goodness for these books, because she had lost some of her faith. She lost strength about having to deal with my dad's ordeal, and through the book she regained her strength, regained her interest in her faith. And I think the book, as Anna says, can help people through their interest and their love of sports learn a little bit more about their faith.
We're going to go to a break here, Gary, on Catholic Community Faith and Relevant Radio 950. Anna, first of all, thank you for that call, that wonderful comment. Also, Peter, stay on the line. We'll get to you right after we get to a break here on 950 AM. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Gratzin and Markeski. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first scripture school in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053. That's 312-534-8053 and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started, and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too, for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz along with Grazia Markeski. And our guest is Gary Graff, author of the book, And God Said, Tee It Up. We're going to go to a trip. Well, before we get to Peter on the phone, trivia question. And if you get this trivia question, you receive the third book. And if you don't know the answer, well, we'll still take your phone call, but I don't know the answer to this until Brian told me. Catcher for the White Sox, A.J. Pruszynski, is a very avid golfer and went par, birdie, par at what famous PGA major golf course, and what is the nickname of the three-hole stretch he did it on? Again, A.J. Pruszynski is an avid golfer, and he went in three consecutive holes, I think the 12th, 13th, and 14th hole, par, birdie, par, at what famous PGA golf course, and what is the nickname of the three-hole stretch he did it on? And the hint for the three-hole stretch has a religious connotation.
And we're told that any real golfer out there would know the answer
exactly,
to this.
Exactly, and I don't know the answer because I'm not a real golfer. By the way, Gary, do you know the answer to that question?
I believe I do, but of course if I give it, then I give it away.
You get to win your own book. Give us the answer. I'll mail you a copy of your book. Wow, what a program we have. Hey, Peter from Stickney, you want a book entitled And God Said, Tee It Up, congratulations, and you have a comment for Gary.
Are you a golfer, Peter?
Well, yes. My wife is a cousin of Monsignor Cook, Vincent Cook, and when he retired to a golf course in Palm Desert.
Oh, he was an avid golfer.
Oh, yeah. And I read a book in his, in his study, and one of the things I read was about golf, because he was an avid golfer, of course, living on a golf course. And it said that less than 1% of the people who play golf break par. And to me, that was stunning. I mean, when you think of all the professionals and all the people who play it. As a matter of fact, he had a statue of the infant Jesus of Prague, and there were three golf balls he had on the arms. And I asked him, I said, Monsignor, what are the golf? He says, those are holes in one that I made.
Wow.
Then one time he went, there was another ball. There were four.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Only less than 1% of the people who golf ever break par.
Ever break par, yeah.
Well, I'm not part of that 1%.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, thank you very much for your comment, and congratulations on winning a copy of Gary Graff's book.
Okay,
and God
thank said
you very to much. God bless you and have a great week.
Thank you, Father. You too.
Yeah. Gary, beside the book, And God Said, Tee It Up, say something about your book regarding football and baseball titled God Said, Play Ball, and God Said, It's Good.
Let's see. I'll go And God Said, It's Good first, this being the football book. In there, I make a connection with Hail Mary passes, which is a term that we're familiar with in football, where teams down late in the game and they need just to throw it as far as they can, as long as they can, and hope that someone catches it in the end zone for a touchdown to come back and tie or win the game. And it's interesting that kind of play would get the term Hail Mary. I think it brings to mind why people pray in the first place. We always, turn to prayer in times of Thanksgiving, of course, when we want to thank God for a blessing we've received. But more often than not, it's in a time of petition, where we may want help in finding a job, help in having a loved one recover from illness or an accident, things like that. And I think one of the lessons we can learn about prayer is it's wonderful to open up to prayer and try to further our relationship with God. But we have to keep in mind that the purpose of prayer is not so much to sort of petition and ask God for him to do our will, but for him to give us the strength to accept what his will is. So
it's interesting about that Hail Mary. I know that sometimes Catholics get offended when they hear broadcasters talking about the Hail Mary pass, but I think the first time the Hail Mary phrase was used, it was not used in the 50s or 60s, I think it was early or mid-70s, it was the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Oakland Raiders in the championship leading up to the Super Bowl, and Terry Bradshaw heaved one downfield. Two guys collided, the receiver from the Steelers and the defender from the Raiders. The ball popped up straight up into the air, and out of nowhere, Franco Harris, the fullback, picked it up about 6 inches off the ground, running full speed, raced about 40 yards into the end zone as time expired. This was, I think, was it in Pittsburgh? Was it at Oakland? And the announcer yelled out, oh, a Hail Mary pass and a touchdown, and Pittsburgh won the game. And also, as Michael May, the producer for the program today, talked about as the Immaculate Reception.
Right.
But I think it's the first time this phrase was given. It was a Hail Mary pass, and of course,
and
Doug Flutie.
I was thinking it happened at Notre Dame.
Well, it also, again, with Doug Flutie, Boston College against Notre Dame, and Flutie launched a 60-yard bomb or 50-yard bomb that, again, deflected, and the announcers talked about the Hail Mary pass as BC beat Notre Dame at the end. And at Miami?
Yes, Miami.
Boston College versus Miami?
Yes.
Okay, I had the wrong team because I love Notre Dame, so I'm glad it was Miami. And we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz with Grazia Marcheschi, and our guest is Gary Graff, the author of various books on sports, making link and parallels to the Bible. 312-255-8408, 312-255-8408. We're still giving away one book, and does anybody have an answer to the trivia question, which I'll ask again if no one calls during the break? Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Would you like to discuss faith-based issues with Cardinal George and other archdiocesan leaders? Stick around. We'll tell you about our newly launched blog. We'll visit with two organizers of the Catholic Festival of Faith and tell you how to register for this wonderful October event. And Catholic school children put their artistic talents to good use by drawing anti-drug messages. These stories and more are coming your way in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Graziano Marcheschi. The time is 9:52 on this Monday morning in Chicago. We are still looking for an answer to the trivia question. Is A.J. Pruszynski is an avid golfer and went par, birdie, par at what famous PGA golf course? And what is the nickname of the three-hole stretch that he did it on, the par, birdie, par? And the answer to that is a religious connotation. If you even know part of it, just give us the name of the golf course, or if you know the other part. I don't know I have the answer here, and I know that our guest knows the answer.
Something to do with prayer.
Exactly. How you end a prayer. How do you end a prayer? That's even a, that's even a bigger hint. And the initials would be A-C. I'll start spelling it out. Gary, have any more books lined up in the future?
Well, I've got a manuscript on soccer in the queue. I've got one on food, and God said, let's eat, tying together the many references of food and wine in the Bible to Scripture. So, working it as best I can, however the Spirit moves me.
Well, you spend a little time talking about the football book, and God said it's good. Say something about the baseball book, and which you talk entitled, and God said, play ball. Because I gave a copy of that one to my little nephew last year.
Oh, terrific. Thank you so much. The one thing that I like a lot is there's a story in the Gospel of Luke about how this is when Jesus is recruiting his disciples and apostles. And it's a gospel story where Peter and James and John are fishing, and they haven't caught anything. And Jesus says, try the other side, mm-hmm. throw your nets on the other side. And they do, and they have so many fish come up that the nets are close to breaking, the boat's close to sinking. And
all right, if anybody knows how many fish were in the net, we'll give them a book, too. What's the number of fish that they pulled up in the net?
The line in Luke says, And all who were there were amazed at the catch. And I'm thinking, of course, Luke's talking about this gospel reading, but who knew he was foretelling a wonderful catch in the World Series that Willie Mays made against the Cleveland Indians.
1954.
Exactly. So I always like to tie that in, that Luke had a premonition that Willie would make that great catch in the World Series, and who knew that great catch might lead us back to a biblical passage talking about the apostles.
Was that off the bat of Vic Wertz?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. How about sports for 500? Give us another example from that. I love that. Give us another example from your baseball book beside that Willie Mays catch, which some will say might have been the greatest catch in the history of the game or World Series, and what made that possible was the center field was like about 450 feet away, so he just turned full speed back to home plate, and incredible. But only because the center field went out about 2 miles long.
You know? In a different time zone, practically.
Exactly. It was in a different time zone. Give us another example of the baseball book.
Well, in each book, I have a section on the greatest. And it calls to mind when the apostles, James and John, they were saying, we'd like to ask Jesus a favor, being on the left hand and the right hand when Christ came into his glory. And the other apostles were upset at that. And I talk about who might have been the greatest in each sport. And in baseball, you can make an argument for Babe Ruth. You can make an argument for
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams, Joe DiMaggio. I say
Greg Sackowitz.
No.
I say in this case Roberto Clemente. He was a 3,000 hit player, had a great arm, played on World Series teams with the Pirates.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
But it was not so much for his baseball statistics, but it was for his humanitarian efforts. He died in an airplane crash, trying to bring relief efforts to the people of Nicaragua.
It was right before Christmas in 1971.
Exactly. And the reason I say Clemente could be considered the greatest is how Christ considers being great. He says, whoever wants to be great among you has to serve. And no greater gift has a person than giving their life for their friends. So if you look at how Jesus describes being great, then Roberto Clemente certainly could be considered the greatest, both for his professional efforts as well as his personal efforts.
You know, Gary, along those lines, maybe it's in your book, One on Humility, the Bulls had just won their first or second national championship. It was in 91 or 92, and they're being flocked by thousands of fans at O'Hare upon their return. And Phil Jackson, head coach of the Bulls then, of course, he just won his 10th title with the Lakers last week. He noticed as the Bulls were being flocked and people seeking autographs and guys who sat on the bench being flocked for autographs because they're part of the championship team, by the corner of his eye, Phil Jackson noticed walking down the corridor at O'Hare, Ted Williams, with a briefcase, not one person around Ted Williams, and the Bulls being flocked by hundreds and thousands of fans for autographs, guys who never played, you know, people throwing paper in front of them to sign an autograph. And Phil Jackson thought, here walks possibly the greatest baseball player in the history of the game, Ted Williams, by himself, walking right past all these fans, nobody noticing him. And Phil Jackson thought, how fleeting glory is that the Bulls have now won the championship and everybody's around them, and one of the greatest ball players ever to live, not one person approaching Ted Williams. We've got to go. I didn't realize we're out of time here. I want to thank Gary Graff, our guest, for joining us here today on Catholic Community Faith. We'll have you back on, Gary. This was excellent. I want to say thank you to our co-host, Graziano Marcheschi. Thank you to our producer today, Michael May, and engineer, Brian Hitman Hockey Brock. To our listeners, thank you very much. And the answer to the question was Augusta National, and the nickname is Amen Corner.
And 153 fish.
In the boat.
In the net.
Ended up in the boat. God bless. Have a great week.
Thanks.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.